Are you looking for an opportunity to work hard, but in a fun, casual atmosphere with a good group of people where you're learning a lot and engaged and having fun? Well, then you're at the right place. I'm Robert Scrobe, president of Membership Services, Inc., and I recorded this program to give you great information before you apply for this opportunity so you can know whether this is even something that's appropriate for you, something you're interested in, or a great match or not. I don't know whether it's a match for you other than simply posting this and making you aware of it, and you're not able to know unless I give you some information. So that's what this is all about, is information about our company, information about what we do, information about the positions themselves, and also some important details on how to apply that you'll definitely want to listen through. Now, I think this is going to be about an hour, so go ahead and bear with me for a few minutes. But consider this, kick back, relax. Consider this a pre-interview where you don't have to get dressed up. You don't have to put on any fancy shoes or even brush your hair. And instead, you come as you are. And let me let you know more about our company so that you can decide whether or not this is a good fit, something that we should work together. So what is Membership Services, Inc.? Well, Membership Services is an association management company. We work with associations. And so I'll explain what all of these things are in just a second, because I understand that you could be new to this area. But what we do is we provide management, administration, and resources for association. Now, it's a whole lot of words. And if you're not familiar with the association industry, it's probably meaningless. So let me give you a little bit of background. Associations are groups of people with a similar interest. And they come together to, these are groups of people who come together, who work together to provide each of them better education, resources, and representation that none of them would be able to get on their own. So if you go around Tallahassee, you may very well see the Plumbers Association, the Florists Association, the Association of Counties, the Contractors Association, the Surveyors and Mappers Association, and you'll see these signs of these associations all over the place. And, maybe you never, pay that much attention, and I understand I didn't before I worked in the industry myself. But what these associations are where the group, the individuals within the industry came together one day and decided that by working together, that each of them could achieve a lot more. So for instance, let's take the Surveyors and Mappers Association. It's the Florida Surveyors and Mappers Society. That was created one day, many years ago, several decades ago, when a group of surveyors got together and said, we need to create this organization. We need to create an organization that provides education, that does research on our behalf, and advocates on behalf of our industry. And so they, one day the organization was born. They decided to collect some membership dues. So, basically they each wrote a check in order to get the organization going. And from there, the association hired staff, created a office, rented, bought a building, bought furniture, computers for the staff, and outfitted the organization with, created this organization. And created an entity. Now, what do associations do? A couple of quick things. Research. If you are a member of an industry and you want some information about what other people in the industry are doing, or what the customers in your profession want, you have to hire researchers or do that research yourself, and it can be very expensive. Well, why not share that research with everybody in the industry, and instead of you having to fund 100%, you only have to fund maybe one thousandth of a percent of that fee, that research. That way, for just a few bucks, you're able to get tens of thousands of dollars worth of information that you can use within your own company. Now, there'll certainly be times when you'll want to get your own research and do things that you don't share with the entire industry. But for things that aren't as important, why not go ahead and work with an association, get the association, get the information from them rather than you conduct that yourself. So one of the great things that associations provide is research. Next, compliance. You know, think of, you know, all of the different laws that a business owner has to comply with, whether they're a plumbing contractor or a surveyor, for example, an obstetrician, a doctor, a dermatologist, a pen manufacturer, a grocery store. All of these entities have lots of compliance issues. Think of a theme park. You know, like let's take SeaWorld, for instance. They have sales tax that they have to comply with. So every store, every gift shop has to collect and remit sales tax. They have to collect sales tax on admissions. They have laws which oversee what they're allowed to say in their advertising. They also, because they're operating restaurants, have to adhere to the food and beverage laws. All the alcohol they serve, they have to have a liquor license for that. The animals are all regulated by different agencies in both the state and the federal government on how they are treated and cared for, and also what animals they're allowed to have. The employees, the relationship between the employees and the theme park is regulated by, you know, OSHA is all about safety. You have the American with Disabilities Act that's regulating guests that come in the park and the accommodations that the park must make for guests that have disabilities. I mean, and this is just off the top of my head, but this is not unusual. So, you know, certainly you look at a business the size of SeaWorld and you think, wow, you know, they ought to be able to comply with all that because they have a big business. But every attraction and theme park has to have those similar type compliance issues. And, you know, you might be, as an owner of a business, so busy just trying to make a profit, trying to get customers through the turnstile, so to speak, that you don't have time to keep up with all those things. So associations provide a lot of that for their members and provide those things so that individuals don't have to research all of that. Instead, the association can go figure all this stuff out and provide manuals and guidebooks and how-to resources for individual members of the association. So it's a huge shortcut so that instead of each individual company having to go get all that information themselves, they're able to rely on an association to get that for them and provide them just the answers they need when they need it, and hopefully well before some regulator from one of the different variety of federal or state regulatory agencies shows up with some sort of violation notice. Another thing that associations do, a very important task, is government affairs. Now, the press talks about the special interests and how the legislative process is dominated by these special interests. Well, the fact is the legislature needs, quote, special interests or needs associations in order to provide the lawmakers with critical information that they can use when they're making their decisions. You know, there might be government waste out there. I'm not saying there isn't. But within the lawmaking process, there is very little staff. They are staffed very thin, and there's not enough time for individual legislators to research all these details. And quite frankly, staff aren't really going to be educated on this because even the staff turns over every few years. So if you cannot expect a legislator who ran for election because they saw an opportunity to serve, that, you know, they saw some segment, not something that wasn't getting done, that they thought they can contribute, might have been to do with education or maybe they're really concerned about criminal justice system, or maybe they're concerned about the environment. And so they had a particular thing that they were concerned with, a particular life experience that they brought to this opportunity to be a legislator. And they, took their life experience out and got elected, asked their fellow citizens to vote for them. Those citizens did. And now they're a state legislator. Well, when they become a state legislator, they have to make decisions on thousands of things, most of which they had no idea they were going to be asked to make a decision upon, from the state employee pension fund to the sales tax holidays to how different industries are regulated within the state. It's a myriad of things, and they had no idea any of this information existed or anything before they got elected. And here they are forced to make decisions upon it. And so as a citizen, we cannot expect our legislators to know. Yes, it would be great if they did. And yes, maybe they should know about all these things that we think that's important. But the fact is they don't. And there is no other way to get them to know than other than educate them. Now, you could go to Tallahassee and educate your legislators yourself, or instead you could participate in a association and in your money together with the money of every other member can fund a legislative operation to help educate lawmakers on your industry, what its needs are, and to really watch out that those legislators aren't doing something that really unfairly penalize you and your profession. So that's the critical component. I mean, without associations, we'd each be stuck trying to do our own legislative affairs. And certainly the press talks about special interests and how they dominate Tallahassee. And fact is very few of them are really dominating. It's really a push-pull kind of ongoing between these groups. That and after all, the members of these groups are individuals throughout the state. So it's a crucial part of the process. Whether you like it or not, whether you think there should be special interests, the fact is there are. And better there be your special interests rather than someone else's. So that's kind of a broad overview of what associations do. Research, compliance tools, government affairs, kind of more on a day-to-day basis. They also put on events and meetings for the industry so that industry participants can come together either through for education or trade shows or both. Also publish newsletters, put out information, create home study products, compliance guides, put up websites with membership information and the content that's only available for members. So it's a very, very diverse, a real myriad of tasks. Really, anything that members need is what associations are going to step up and do. So, how do associations work? I hinted at this a little bit, but it all starts with a group of members of the industry who come together to address an industry concern. There's some issue, some challenge, some problem that the industry is facing. Members of the industry come together and they decide, you know what, we got to work on this together. And they create an association. Associations typically will then collect dues and then hire a staff if they can. So they'll collect dues from everybody that's interested, then go out, rent an office, hire an executive director who will then hire a team of people, and then they'll get about collecting more dues, growing the association, growing the benefits, and providing representation. Now, where Membership Services Inc. comes in is we provide all of the services associations need on a contract basis. So instead of associations hiring their own staff, renting or buying a building, buying computers and all the furniture necessary, getting everybody trained, instead we provide all of that on a contract basis. We have the staff, we have the computers, we have the know-how of running an association. And associations come to us and ask us to run their operations. Now, one of the big things that we bring are economies of scale. So for an association who maybe only have $100,000 or $200,000 to invest in staff and overhead in an office, well, maybe that would get them one or two or maybe three people. Well, with Membership Services, Inc., that same money gives them a whole team, and not just a team, but a team of experts. People are really trained on these issues and have a very diverse experience that can provide a lot of value and a lot of results quickly. So that's a little bit about us. Now, in terms of this whole association management company world, it so happened that, even though you may not have ever heard of this before, there's actually association management companies throughout the entire country. And it's its own little industry. In fact, it has its own association of association management companies. And there's annual meetings, there's newsletters, but I think it's mostly email newsletters, but there's communication. So there's an entire industry. So why Membership Services, Inc.? So we're in a situation where we are competing with other association management companies for the opportunity to work with associations. And quite frankly, associations have a lot of choices. I mean, they could go without staff and work by volunteer only. They could hire their own, or they could work with a company such as Membership Services, Inc. So why should they work with Membership Services, Inc.? Membership Services, Inc. is the only company in the southeastern United States, probably even the entire country, that specializes in membership marketing and recruitment. And we make that our number one focus of the associations that we work with. Quite frankly, we're really good at it. And we've worked with associations that when they came to us, fewer than 30% of the industry that could be a member of the association was a member of the association. Then after just working with them for just a couple of years, we've actually grown them to represent over 99% of the industry. There is another association that we worked with in a similar situation, but they started with about 40%. We worked them built that association so that they represented all but two potential members. All the potential members except for two were members of the association. We had contacted them, did sales calls, did direct mail, all kinds of marketing strategies, and gotten all but two of them to become members. And that is the kind of excellence that we aspire to, is 100%. A lot of times associations, you'll see in newsletters or in materials that, 80% is a typical renewal rate. No, 100% is the only thing that's appropriate. We are looking for every single member who was a member last year to be a member again next year and more, so that the association can grow and we can continue to serve the industry. So there's quite a lot of culture shock if you're from another existing association coming over to Membership Services, because our entire philosophy is based on developing value for members so that they want to be a member, and that increased membership then drives increased attendance at meetings. Increased attendance at meetings then drives the number of exhibitors that you're able to attract to your event. The number of exhibitors you're able to attract, it influences the amount of sponsorship dollars you're able to get. The amount of sponsorship dollars then also generates all kinds of non-dues revenue opportunities. Too many associations, when they see their dues going down, their membership drop, they run over to the non-dues revenue side in order to try to replace the dues income. Well, that's not going to work. You've got to fix your membership problem in order to fix your membership organization. You can't fix a membership organization with non-dues in revenue. So we are the only ones specializing in membership marketing and recruitment and retention, and that changes everything. Our company was founded in 1979 by Bob Harris as Harris Management Group. He grew the company. I actually joined him as an employee back in 1993. And my background is as a CPA. I worked in public accounting for about 3 months and then joined Bob as a company bookkeeper and worked as a bookkeeper for Harris Management Group. In 1999, I bought the company, the Harris Management Group, from Bob Harris and renamed it Membership Services Inc. And really at that time, then got focused, created the focus on membership marketing, recruitment, and retention. We specialize in trade associations. There's really two types of associations, trade or professional. Professional or individual owner operators. So you think of a dermatologist, that is a profession where the individual has to aspire to a particular license and then is able to work within the profession. The other is industry where it's a company. So if you think of a company such as a local a retailer. Think of the restaurant, a restaurant near you that's independently owned. That is a business, and whether today's owner owns it or he sells it to another owner, it kind of runs independent of it is not dependent on the owner necessarily to operate. Whereas a profession, if a dermatologist, if Joe Smith, dermatologist, is in business and Joe Smith leaves, then the entire dermatology business is gone. Whereas if Joe Smith owns a restaurant, he's got employees, he sells the restaurant to Harry Jones, well, the restaurant continues pretty much as it did the day before. So that's an industry, that's a company. And those are the type of organizations that we typically work with as an industry. Also, we also specialize in Florida statewide associations. So rather than local groups or even national groups, we really focus on statewide organizations. A little bit about philosophy. Home Depot had dropped this some years ago, but they were famous for saying the customer is always right. We will give refunds. We don't care what the customer says. If the customer wants a refund, asks us for one, we're going to give it to them. Well, that's not a very smart strategy or smart policy, and I think they've actually abandoned it themselves. But nonetheless, we are really focused on building a company that it can sustain itself and has a strong financial foundation, and that the company itself provides resources for reinvestment. Think of it as a cargo in a ship. The customers are the cargo. We can't have a shipping business without cargo. We're all run out of money. Customers are crucial. And in fact, you'll find that we are constantly growing and focusing, doing everything we can in order to grow our customer base because it's crucial that we continue to grow the number of members that we have in our associations so that those associations continue to grow. So the customer is crucial. However, if you are in a ship, think of a ship like the Mayflower. It's this ship, and you're going across the sea, and it's stormy, and it's just you in the middle of the ocean on the Mayflower. Well, in that circumstance, while cargo is critically important in order to fund a shipping operation, if there's a storm coming, you may have to offload the cargo into the sea in order to save the ship. Because if the ship goes down, you lose the crew and you lose the ship, then everything is gone. The cargo is actually the most replaceable thing on the ship. Now you constantly gotta be going and getting it and replacing it, but it is replaceable. So as a ship is concerned, what we do on behalf of our customers, the customers themselves, that is replaceable. The cargo on the ship is replaceable. And even though there may be some real short-term financial implications for offloading it, if that's what it requires, if there's a customer who's giving us a hard time, we've had situations where a client was really harassing an employee, and we had to get rid of the cargo, or at least take care of the situation, and so that that didn't happen anymore, which really brought a whole lot of concern over whether we'd lose the client overall. And you know what? We have to accept that risk. The cargo sometimes has to be offloaded. We really look for clients that want to work with us, that give us a great opportunity for success, and that's the type of cargo. Now, after cargo, what's the next most important? And that's the crew. Without the crew, you can't run the ship. The ship just sits at the dock and nothing happens. So while the cargo is important, it's not more important than the crew, and that's where you come in. We're really looking to build an educational, challenging, and financially rewarding employment opportunity for our team members. And we hope that that includes you. And so by doing that, we take care of our crew, which are able to run the ship. Now, next is the ship itself. If there is no ship, then there's nothing to crew, and there's also nothing to carry cargo. So we have to also sustain the ship. We have to build our ship in a way that's financially sustainable, that can continue to grow and provide dollars for reinvestment. So that's kind of how this thing goes, is we're looking for clients, which is the cargo of our ship, and we're choosing clients that allow us the opportunity of success and have the capacity to pay a fair price for the services that we render. We are looking for members of our crew who are excited about being on the crew, that we can provide an educational, challenging, and financially rewarding employment opportunity for them. And then we are building a great ship that's financially sustainable, that provides resources for reinvestment into the company. So that kind of gives you a little bit of philosophy about how we operate. Now, one thing about working at Membership Services Inc. is you are going to be working harder and faster and doing more work than you would at any other opportunity. We are charging premium prices for what we deliver, and for that we must work harder. We have to provide superior results for what we deliver, because we're charging superior pricing. And so it's going to be darn demanding on you in order to meet those criteria. And we're going to have to be good. You're going to have to perform. So if you're looking for just an easy job, something 9 to 5, pull a paycheck, this opportunity isn't for you. It's not going to be a good fit. You're not going to be happy here. If you're looking to work hard, to learn a lot, to have fun, then this is the opportunity. So what is it? What do you have to be able to do in order to work here? Well, number one is have a great attitude. You need to show up early or on time, be ready to work, be excited about the opportunity to work, and be here. Have a great attitude. Be nice to everybody so that we all can be nice to you. Treat our clients right. Treat all of our team members right. And just be really excited to be here. Next, you really need to be proficient at Microsoft Word. Word is the tool that we use the most often. That and email are things that you're going to be working in a lot. So you need to know how to build Word tables, need to know how to do Word mail merges, need really to be able to bring in graphics. And so if that's not something you know how to do, then you're going to need to learn, because that's going to be a very crucial part of this opportunity. Typing speed, you really need to be able to type a minimum of 35 to 40 words a minute. Everything we do is over the computer. Some things are over the phone, but even more than 10 years ago, it's more type-driven, email-driven, computer report, printed newsletter, email. Everything requires typing now, even more than ever. And so you need to be proficient at typing. And next, you need to be willing to learn different web applications. We use several different computer tools to improve our efficiency and communication, and we're moving more and more of those over to applications that reside on the web. And so it's not probably something that you've worked with before, and something you're going to have to really learn. And so you'll need to be good at getting up to speed on computer software that you may not have used before because you just haven't done this job before. And that's an important part of working with us. So one other thing that I want to emphasize, and this will be nowhere near an hour. This is probably a whole lot less than that. So don't worry, you're a whole lot more than halfway done at this point. But one thing that is really important here is that there is a big difference between working or working on it and getting it done. And it's been a long time since we've had anybody say this to me, but you know, I can remember having an employee tell me, you know, I've called the four people you told me to call and I haven't heard back. Look, the task isn't to call and wait. The task is to get it done. And if you're assigned a project by deadline, we give you some tools, we give you some resources. Whether those resources work out, the job is to get it finished. There can be no money generated until it's finished. We can't get a new customer until the marketing materials are mailed or out the door so that we alert these prospects that there's an opportunity to buy. And until we get out the door, no money's coming in. We can't get any attendees for our events until the notices go out that there's an event. And so it's crucial that things get finished. Completed is crucial. And working on it doesn't count. It's irrelevant. And so you'll have to have and adopt a whole attitude around finish and have good finish, because finish is all that counts. Finish is all any of us get paid for. It doesn't matter. Think of it like this: as a restaurant, you place your order, the server goes back and disappears, presumably to put in your order. And, you know, every couple minutes walks by, but half hour, 45 minutes later, you still haven't gotten your food. You tell the server, hey, where's my food? Server says, hey, I'm working on it. You know, the cook did this or this did that. You're not going to take any excuses. You're hungry. You say, give me my food or I'm out of here. Well, that's the way our customers are. And it infuriates me when I call someone else and they're like, oh yeah, I'm working on it. Or the computer guy is, oh yeah, I'm working to fix that workstation. Or yeah, I'm getting to it. Or it doesn't matter. Finished is all that matters. Finish is all that matters at Membership Services, Inc. And so we're not going to take working on it as an excuse. We're going to have project timelines. You're going to know what's expected. You're going to know what finished looks like. And it's going to be your responsibility to make it finished, because that's what we're getting paid to do. We only get paid for finished projects. We don't get paid for working on it. So benefits, you know, we do offer health insurance. We pay 80% of our health insurance for our employees. We really think it's important that employees contribute to their own health insurance program. We've had this program, since 1995. We've offered health insurance, maybe 96, but so that's still 15 years, maybe 16 years. We use Capital Health Plan, and it's a great program. I've been on it for I guess 15 or 16 years, however long we've had it. Had our two kids. My daughter is 15 years old, and my son is 11 now. And so both of them were born using Capital Health Plan. Had all various surgeries. You know, surgery. My wife had a surgery at Shands. We've had all kinds of things, but really have loved Capital Health Plan. We pay 80% of your premium for you, and we also pay 50% of your premium for any dependents that you have on it, children, husbands, or spouses of any type. So we will pay for that as well. Time off, one of the neat benefits of working with us is we close between Christmas Eve and New Year's Day. So that's a time that you're always going to have with your family. I'll brief you on some of the other benefits as we move forward, but those are kind of the highlights. So there is health insurance program. There is a neat little time off during the holidays, and we can brief you on some of the other details as we move forward. Next, how to apply. So if this is, sounds like something that you're interested in, that you really want to get some more information about, send a cover letter and your resume to me, Robert Skrobe. My last name is spelled S-K-R-O-B. And to P.O. Box 3765, Tallahassee, Florida, 32315. Note, this is a different address than you will find on the website. And I'm doing this for a very specific reason. One, you listen to this, and I want to give you credit for actually following directions. Following directions is happens to be another important element of working with membership services. And so we want to identify if you're the type of person who when we say it's important that you listen, you'll actually listen. And then when we say, hey, there's a different address, you need to make sure you pay attention to this rather than that, that you'll follow those directions. And if you do, then you'll get to go to the front of the line. So let me repeat this address. It's Robert Skrobe, and my name is, again, is spelled S-K-R-O-B. It's a P.O. Box 3765, Tallahassee, Florida, 32315. Yes, use snail mail. This is the type of thing where you write it on a letter, on a paper. You fold up the paper and put it in an envelope, and then you put a stamp on it, and you actually mail it through the post office. That's what we want. It's what I want. Don't send me a fax. Don't send me an email. Don't go to the website, find my email address, and send me a message. That's not how this works. This is to the front of the line. Everybody else gets disqualified because they didn't hear this message, and they don't know that that's a bad idea. So, again, I'll say it a third time. Robert Skrobe, P.O. Box 3765, Tallahassee, Florida, 32315 is the way. Now, what I want is a cover letter. Give me longer than a page, but shorter than two pages, of why you're the perfect person for this opportunity at Membership Services, Inc. And you know what? If you've got extra questions you want to ask, then go. You can ask those in the letter as well. But let me know, why is it that I should consider you for this opportunity versus everybody else that's applying? And what separates you? What really makes you unique? And what benefits do you bring that nobody else can bring to this opportunity? That's what I'm really looking for. And I want to know in your words. So cover letter, longer than a page, shorter than two pages. And why don't you throw in a resume in there as well so I can get some background. Feel free to experiment or to be creative and really wow me. I really want to know why you are the best person for this opportunity. Salary will depend on experience. So include your salary expectations within your letter. Let me know what you're looking for. But it'll really depend on the level of experience and background that you bring to this opportunity. In terms of hours, you can really set your own schedule. But once we agree, then we'll really be depending on you to be here when you say you'll be here. So if you're a morning person, you want to work mornings but get off earlier in the afternoons, you can do that. No problem. We have folks doing that now. If you're not a morning person and you really don't want to be here until 9 a.m., then you won't have to be. It's certainly a full-time job, and we're really expecting full-time work, but you'll be able to slide your hours back or forth. Really looking forward to reading more about you and hearing, getting your letter, and make sure you use that correct address, and I look forward to meeting you. Thank you very much for listening to this program and getting some more information about the opportunity we have here at Membership Services, Inc. And I'm glad it didn't take an hour. Turns out it was only 39 minutes, 40 minutes or so. So I'm looking forward to, again, reading your letter. Looking forward to meeting you. And thanks a lot. We'll talk again soon. Mm-hmm.